Chapter 3, Bad Dream. Heat seared my wrist, and I gasped in pain. The blinding light faded, and I lowered my arms. No longer perched at the desk in the shadowy attic, I stood in a darkened, desolate landscape. Clouds filled the sky and covered any sign of the sun, assuming there even was one. I couldn't tell if it was day or night. I turned in place and stared at a rocky ridgeline that surrounded me, and I realized I was in a large, hollow basin. Where was I? The moon? I must have fallen asleep. This was a dream. It had to be. Or I got hit in the head with an asteroid and was lying comatose on the floor. The hot spot on my wrist slowly cooled, and I realized it was the metal from my watch. I unfastened it and stared at its face. The digital screen was blank. Dead. I tapped it a couple times without any result and slipped it into my pocket. Strange. Stones poked at my feet through my slippers, and a cold breeze blew past me, cutting through my shirt and sweatpants. I shivered and rubbed my arms. If this was a dream, it was the most realistic one I'd ever had. The wintry air bit at my skin, and I wished I'd dreamt up warmer clothing. I figured it wasn't too late to try, so I closed my eyes and imagined a puffy winter coat and tennis shoes. But after a minute, I gave up. Great. I was trapped in a dream I had no control over. Way to go, Nimrod! Light shimmered nearby, drawing my attention. I turned to see the outline of a glowing rectangle, like a doorway. As I wondered what it could be, I noticed a dark, crooked form in my periphery. It would be just my luck to fall straight into a nightmare filled with monsters. I held my breath and whipped around. It was only a tree. If you could still call it that. What remained was a blackened shell. It had no leaves or color. It was completely burnt and lifeless. Was everything dead here? I walked up to it, touched the onyx trunk, and the paper-thin bark crumbled beneath my fingertips, revealing a smooth surface. It reminded me of the time I touched a marble statue. It was hard, but silky soft, too. Sadness washed over me so suddenly, I wasn't prepared for it. I had to gasp for air as the memory of my mother's lifeless body lying in her hospital bed seared my thoughts. She was once beautiful and vibrant, like this tree must have been. I couldn't leave this once living thing looking so charred and tattered. Frowning, I stepped forward and rubbed its surface. Bits of blackened bark disintegrated at my touch and fluttered to the earth. When its torso was released from its burnt exterior, I slumped to my knees and dropped my head into my sooty hands. Completely alone in this dreadful place, I bellowed and my voice echoed off the stony walls. Tears curled off my lashes and splashed onto the roots of the tree. Then I could have sworn the roots spread apart, revealing a dark, hollow nook. I wiped my eyes with the edge of my shirt. Sure, they were playing tricks on me. When I looked again, everything was still. Hidden within the tree trunk, I made out a rounded shape. I crawled forward and peered into a dark recess at the base of the enormous tree. A black object was entwined in the roots. I reached in and, with effort, pulled it out. It was unlike anything I had ever seen before. Its glassy surface shone faintly in the low light, and its teardrop shape fit perfectly in the palm of my hand. I had never found anything quite so amazing. It was freezing, and over the next few minutes only seemed to grow colder. My instinct was to drop it, but instead, I slipped it into my pocket. I scanned the landscape and noticed a pathway leading off into a narrow valley. There wasn't anything else here to see, so I stood up, brushed myself off, and started walking. Well, stumbling was more like it. I'm not very skilled at hiking in slippers. Guess I need practice. Ragged cliff walls guided my way to a smooth valley that led me out of the dreary basin. After a few minutes, a faint scratching sound came from the outcroppings above. Although there was no light to see by, I thought I saw gleaming eyes peering down at me. Another shiver ran down my spine, and I leaned over to pick up a long, sharp rock. The hair at the back of my neck stood on end, while I held out the stone like a dagger, wishing I had a real weapon. I hurried forward and fell over a large boulder, almost swiping my leg with the pointy end of the rock. After that, I slowed a bit, knowing I'd regret it if I didn't. I tried not to think about bleeding alone in the dark. The valley's twists and turns grew wider, until I rounded the final curve and looked out at a horizon covered with hills made of crushed stone. I stepped onto a gravel road and saw a gate nearby along with a guard tower. I didn't like where this dream was going. I was starting to feel like one of those unfortunate extras in any TV series who get written in just to be killed off. With a sigh, I trudged onto the road and away from the gate. I stared at a dark peak in the distance while I listened to the scuff, slap of my slippers as I walked. It was hard to tell how far I'd gone, because there weren't many landmarks to speak of, aside from the scrub brush that lined the road like burrs on clothing. Just when I contemplated throwing myself onto the road and trying to wake up from this mind-numbing experience, a sound snapped me from my thoughts. Hooves clattered, and I turned around to see an interesting sight. Four creatures resembling horses were pulling a long wooden carriage, and alongside it, two figures rode on two more of the animals. As they approached, the black horses' bony silhouettes and silver eyes made me take a step back. The caravan creaked up beside me, stopped, and two men dressed in black leather armor jumped from their mounts. One soldier walked in front of the other. He stared at me, and when his gaze fell on my slippers, his brows knitted into a frown. "What in the name of all things holy are those? Nigel, look at this odd one." He pointed at my feet and scratched his head. His friend joined him and said with a straight face, "Pete, why is it always us? Last time it was the odd fellow with the painted face carrying the chicken, and now this." "Boy, what are you doing out here alone? No one's allowed to roam around Slag's territory as they please. Not unless you've got orders, or you've got a death wish." Nigel inspected me curiously. "You don't have orders, do you?" No. Actually, I was just trying to find something. Anything. I have no idea where I am." Pete piped in and his mustache wiggled as he spoke. "Well, there's no way to unsee you now. You'll have to come with us. No one's allowed out of the city. You should know that. We'll take you up to Valen. Prince Braylon or Grenton will know what to do with you." "What did you say?" I sputtered. "Was I dreaming about my story?" "Ah, your innocence won't help you. Prince Braylon doesn't take pity on anyone. Even if you look like you belong in a room lined with mattresses so you don't hurt yourself." Pete grabbed my arm and dragged me to the back of the carriage, which I now realized was encircled with iron bars. Dirty faces stared down at me as the other soldier unlocked the door. "Make room for one more," he hollered, and shoved me up the steps and into the carriage prison. I fell onto my hands and knees as the door clanged shut. The creak of the lock and rustle of footsteps were drowned out by the whispers around me. I felt a hand on my shoulder as I was helped up. A middle-aged man with a cloth cap on his head met my gaze and said, "You'd better sit down, young man." No sooner had he spoken than the carriage lurched forward and I toppled onto its dirty wooden floor. Pain stung my knee. "Ah!" I lifted myself up and slid onto the bench beside the man. My sweats were torn, and in the hole I could see a bloody scrape. Gravel bits were lodged inside my flesh. I used the edge of my shirt to brush away the dirt and blood, wincing as I worked. "You okay, son?" the man beside me asked. "Sure. Never better," I mumbled as I looked around. Three other men of varying ages were in the carriage with me, and their eyes remained down. The name's Malik.
I'm Nim, I said, and shook Malik's hand.
Malik craned his neck around and whispered, You look to be around my boy's age. He was taken by Slag's men and recruited. That's why I'm here. Turned myself over to his army so I could rescue him. If he's still the boy I knew. One of the men shot Malik a wary glance and he responded with a shake of his head, ignoring the other man's concern. You wanted this? I looked around uneasily at the iron bars. Malik gave a short nod, then frowned. How do you come to be by yourself all the way out in Slag's territory? A boy as young as yourself should be far away from here. Where's your family?
I shrugged and said, I don't have any family, except my aunt. Don't know where I am or how I got here. I'm lost.
Malik's eyes darkened. That's bad luck, son. I'll look after you if I can. Stay close, and I'll help you escape once we find Red.
He straightened and studied the other men in the carriage carefully. Each met his gaze and looked at me in turn.
Do you know each other? I asked. The reaction was immediate. Malik clamped his hand down on my leg, sending painful spasms through my bad knee, and the other men glared at me before turning their focus to the dusty wooden floorboards. I felt Malik's hot breath on my ear as he said in warning,
What are you trying to do? Get us all killed? Keep your voice down.
Ow!
Right.
Sorry, I whispered. Malik let go of me and adjusted his hat to cover his ears. I was sore where his fingers had gripped my leg and my hands drifted down protectedly.
Malik muttered back, Sorry about your knee. I'm a bit on edge. This plan is my only hope. Red's all I got. He sighed and patted my shoulder.
Nim, these are my friends. They've come to help me out. One by one, the men nodded at me as their names were spoken.
Hello, I said under my breath, not wanting to peeve off Malik again. It was just my luck to get arrested in my slippers. I leaned over to inspect my skinned knee and blew on it like Mom used to do when I was a kid. The cool air lessened the pain. As I watched my blood darken and dry, I couldn't suppress a nagging thought. What if this isn't a dream? What if it's real?